All right, you may be seated briefly for some welcoming announcements. Welcome to Replicate Church. My name is Jared. If you're new here, we're so honored to have you. Thank you for joining us to praise the Lord today. And I invite you to take a look around the room as we wrap up at the end of service. We have a table in the back. It's a sign-up table where we have different events that are happening. And then we've got our next steps table, our offering table, and we just invite you to take a look around after service. As always, we are grateful as a church and as a body for your generosity and your tithes and offerings. You truly enable us to be able to reach the community, to seek out the lost and lead them to Christ. With that, I invite you to pray with me over our tithes and offerings so that they can be used to magnify the Lord's kingdom. Heavenly Father, you're such a good, good God. We thank you for your perfect word. And Lord, today we lift up our tithes and offerings as a church, just in worship to you and in thanks. Lord, we ask you guide the hands that manage these wonderful gifts. Lord, we ask that you help us to reach the lost, to serve our community and beyond. And Lord, we just ask that you continue to bless every giver, every person who's here today. Prosper those who are in need, Lord God, and just watch over all of us. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. I also would like to direct your attention to the bulletin. There's a connect card there. If you're new, if you would like for us to contact you, we want to contact you. Please fill that out, and you can drop it in the offering box. You could give it to myself or Pastor Jared. Also, if you're interested in serving and you just don't know where you may be needed, you can utilize that as well to let us know. Like, hey, I'm here. Tell me where you'd like me to help out. Also, next steps. If you've made the choice to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, you'd like to get baptized, that's another way that you can let us know that. And as always, we invite you to let us know in person as well, however you're comfortable with doing that. Lastly, I would like to invite you to take a look at the church webpage, replicatechurch.org. It'll outline the different ways that you can give or to pay your tithes and offerings. We've really streamlined that process. We do have the offering box, but if you're like me, I like automation and being able to just have that automatically set up so that I can wake up on Sunday morning with the text message, thank you for your offering. So, otherwise, it's great to have you. It's a wonderful Sunday, and we are continuing in the book of James this week. And Pastor is going to lead us in intentional prayer, and then we'll get back to worshiping. Pastor Jared.
Thank you, Jared. Well, good morning and welcome. If you're a guest with us, man, we're so glad you decided to worship with us today. Part of our worship on Sunday mornings is praying together while also praying just individually. And so, because at the end of the day, when you stand before Jesus, it's going to be you and Jesus, not us and Jesus. And we're called to a personal relationship with him. And so part of that relationship is us talking to him through this gift that he's given us in prayer. And so when we pray, scripture says that he is faithful to answer when we pray according to his will. And so one of the best ways we can make sure that we're praying according to his will is praying through scripture. So we use scripture to guide our time together. And so this morning, we're looking at Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5. It says, make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths, lead me in your truth, and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. And so as you ponder that text, we have a few prompts just to kind of stir your heart a little bit, stir your mind as far as to direct your prayers. And so based off that text, here's some prompts you can just consider this morning. You know, first off, we start by praising God. God, Lord, I praise you for your wisdom and compassion. We talked about in James, in the earlier part of our James series, that God is the giver of wisdom. He said he will pour out his wisdom on us if we would just ask. And so we want to praise him for his wisdom and the compassion he has for us. Lord, I trust that you will fulfill your promises to me even during blank. That you're going to fulfill your promises even as I go through this. Even as the world looks bleak and horrible, you are still faithful to fulfill your promises. Lord, because you are a wise father, give me guidance for blank. Whatever it is you're going through in life, seek the Lord's guidance on that. And then finally, Lord, be my refuge from blank today. Lord, as I'm enduring this, Lord, let me be the place, let you be the place where I seek shelter, where I can rejoice, where I can find gladness, where I can find peace and comfort. And so we're going to give you about 90 seconds to just spend time with your Heavenly Father this morning, to just seek Him, cry out to Him, and then we'll close up and continue in worship. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning just acknowledging, God, that your wisdom and your compassion. God, you show your compassion for us. God, you showed that when you sent your Son to die on the cross for us. God, you saw our state in our sin mess, Lord, and you responded. You acted out of compassion, out of a steadfast, unchanging love for us. Lord, and we praise you for that this morning. Lord, as we come before your throne this morning, as we come to you in worship, Lord, we pray that you would continue to be our refuge and our strength, Lord, that you continue to guide us and lead us, and that we'd have a heart open to your leading, your guiding. Yeah, that we would approach your throne with a heart seeking transformation, that we would come open, allowing your word to do the work that it needs to do in us. Lord, we pray this morning for your peace and your comfort. We pray that we be encouraged and challenged. God, if we need to be confronted with some things this morning, we pray that your Holy Spirit would lead in that as well. God, we pray that we experience your grace in a new and fresh way this morning. We pray that your Holy Spirit would do what only he can do in this place, Lord, that we would just experience you in a very real way this morning. God, we lift up those in the room that do not yet have a relationship with Jesus. God, that today they would hear your gospel. God, and they would believe it, they would receive it, and they would surrender their lives to you, and they would know the hope of heaven. And so, Lord, we pray our worship is just a sweet aroma to you this morning. God, that you are glorified in everything that is laid out this morning. And God, we just pray these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. So if you're able, I'm going to invite you to stand with us as we continue to worship this morning. Well, amen. Thank you, guys. If you're able, I'm going to invite you to stand for one more second as Miss Kenna reads our word for this morning.
All right, we're in James 1, verse 22. Is that right? Okay. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does.
Amen. Thank you, Kenna. You guys can be seated. Kids, you guys are released back to Replicate Kids this morning. Well, again, I just want to say good morning and welcome. If you're a guest, man, you are. We are honored that you are here. We're excited that you found the pole barn in the middle of the field. And I'm always reminded every time people gather here that I am thankful that church is not in a building, but it's the people. Because if it was based on the building, we would not meet that standard most Sundays. And so I'm grateful that that is not what defines the church. And so again, we're glad you're here this morning. If you're a guest, my name is Jared, and you'll find out there's several Jareds here. So chances are, if you yell the name Jared in this place, you're going to get a response from somebody. And so if it's not me, they can direct you to me. But again, we're glad you're here this morning. A couple of things before we get into God's word this morning. Tonight is our monthly night of prayer from 5 to 6 in this building. We bumped it up an hour to kind of help with getting kids ready for school and things like that. So we're going to be here. We meet every month to just pray over needs of the church, over praying for our city, interceding for the lost, all of that. So we invite you to come and make plans to be here tonight. If you have anything in your life you want prayed over, there's some prayer cards at the Next Steps table. You can fill that out, drop it in the offering box, or give it to me, and we'll be sure to pray over those tonight as well. The other thing that's not in your bulletin is October 5th. That's a Sunday. Right after our gathering, we're going to have a meeting for everybody that works in kids ministry. We're going to feed you lunch, but it's going to be a time to meet with Miss Jenny, our kids director, and a couple of our leaders, and just kind of just streamline a few things, make sure everybody's on the same page, and kind of prepare for some of the things that God is doing here at Replicate and some things that he has called us to do. And so if you work in kids in any fashion, we want you to be here October 5th for that meeting. Again, we're going to feed you. And so if you could let Miss Jenny know, if you work in kids and you plan on being here, just so we can have a good number of how many people we're going to need to prepare for. So this morning, we continue our series through the book of James. We're in, again, as Miss Kenneth said, we're in James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. And this is probably my favorite text, or one of my favorite texts in all of Scripture. I remember coming to faith in Christ, running across this text very early on, and thinking, why don't more Christians just read this text? Because it makes following Jesus very simple. It says, be a doer of the word, hear it and do it. Just like you as parents expect your children to do, to hear you speak and then do it. And then the more I recognize the rebellious nature of my own heart, I realize that this passage is a lot easier said than done. And though it's easier said than done, it still doesn't change the fact that really following Jesus is simple. It's hear his commands and obey them. And if we really can buy into that, then this Christian walk would be a lot more fruitful. And so we're going to unpack that this morning. If you are joining us for the first time this morning, just to kind of get you up to speed, James has been kind of diving into this idea of how we need to focus on God's word. Like how we need to approach it with a heart of understanding and eagerness and readiness, that we're not just to read his word to move the bookmark from one page to the next, right? That we're not just to read his word to gain knowledge, but we are to read it to gain understanding. And so he's highlighted this natural progression that takes place as we listen and hear and receive this knowledge of God's word. And he's continuing on that progression this morning as we look at verse 22. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. How many of you ever got a set of instructions, just quickly glanced at it, threw it down, and then went to build wherever that thing was you had to build? Amen. How well did that go for you? Some of you may have some photographic memories and it went well, but for most of us, probably we forgot the moment we laid those instructions down, right? Like, I'm a picture person. I got to have a picture to follow. Like, the written instructions don't really do much for me. Like, I need to see a step-by-step picture. And I have to keep going back to that picture over and over again to make sure I'm doing it right. We can get ourselves in some hot water if we don't give certain things the attention they deserve, right? If we want to make an A on that test, most of us can't just look at the material one time. We have to keep going to that material over and over again, studying it, committing it to memory. If you want to build a house, You just don't build the house after you're looking at the blueprints one time. You're continually referencing those blueprints to make sure you're building the house correctly. If you commit to building that house by memory, chances are it's not going to end up how you wanted it to be. There are certain things in life that demand that we give just a little more attention to, that we continue to go to over and over again so that we can commit it to memory, so that we are doing the proper actions it requires. You know, it's like this morning. You just heard me give you some announcements. You heard me say the prayer meeting is at 5 o'clock tonight, and about 15 minutes from now, you're going to forget that I ever said that. All right? Which is why we say things over and over and over again, because we know you need to engage with it more than one time. It's why we do in our small groups, we do sermon-based study, because chances are you're going to remember about 10% of what was spoken today. And so if we really want you to engage with it, interact with it, you need to see it over and over again. It's not a one and done. And so that's kind of what James is addressing this morning, is this connection between hearing God's word and having it and remembering it and then it leading to action. And so here's the phrase that I want you to hold on to this morning as we make our way through the text. And it kind of builds off of last week, and that is this, that those who are quick to listen must also be quick to obey. That those who are quick to listen, means they are seeking understanding from God's word, are also quick to obey, that the two go hand in hand. And so just keep that in the back of your mind as we make our way through our text this morning. And so, again, here's what James says in verse 22. He says, and again, he's talking to believers. He's talking to Jewish believers, followers of Christ, people that have accepted Jesus as Savior. And he's telling them, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And so here's what James is telling believers, both then and now, that if these believers who have convinced themselves that the Christian life is strictly about gaining knowledge, it's about knowing the word of God, And he says, those who have restricted the Christian life to merely being about hearing have deceived themselves. Now, here's what I think is interesting about that word deceive that James used there. Because if you think about it, when you're deceiving someone, it means you know what the truth is, and you're willfully deceiving them to believe something that's counter to the truth. You know what is right, but you're leading somebody away from what is right and true. And so if you take that idea of deceiving someone and you apply it to yourself, what that implies is that most Christians have deceived themselves in believing that just knowing the word is good enough, that the knowing the word, having knowledge of it, is what being a Christian is all about. And in some way, and so when he uses that word deceive, though, it means that deep down we know that we've missed the mark. We know that's not all there is. We know that there's more to walking with Jesus than just knowing about it, but we have deceived ourselves through whatever means and said, hey, we've made ourselves believe this false reality that as long as I know the word of God, I'm good. That's all I'm called to do. And so James is calling us out on that. He's telling us that the Christian walk is more than the stack of badges you get for completing your Bible studies on the Bible app. It's more than the little the badges you get for so many highlights and the streaks. It's more than just showing up on a Sunday. It's more than advocating for the programs you want or the style of music. It's more than wearing the Christian t-shirt and listening to the Christian music. It's more than just having the Bible verse tattooed on your arm. It's more than just knowing about it. He said, if that's what you have believed about the Christian life, you have deceived yourself. The Christian who has become content with just being a hearer of the word has deceived them themselves into believing that that's all there is. And so it's hard to even process that in my mind, that we would even deceive ourselves to the point where we think that's all there is, knowing the lengths that Jesus went to pull us up out of the grave, to defeat sin and death, that all he would want from us is to simply know his word. Right? It sounds silly when you say it out loud that we would somehow be able to convince ourselves that's all he desires from us, giving all that he did for us. And so we need to really understand who James is talking to here. Because it's easy to say, well, he's talking to those Christians then, not now. And so understand, he's talking to those that are sitting in church on Sunday, listening to the teaching of the apostles, elders, shepherds of the church. They come and they sit in the chair and they listen and then they walk away unchanged. You know, they didn't have their own Bibles, you know, during James's day. They were dependent upon those who taught the word. And so he's talking about those that would come and hear week after week after week after week, leave and do nothing with what they'd heard. That's who he's talking to. Those who heard, listened, gained knowledge, but never acted upon that knowledge. And he's saying, if that's you, if you have deceived yourself into believing and that's what Jesus wants from you, you've missed the mark. Christian, we're not meant to just be listeners of God's word. We're not meant to just be storehouses of knowledge. Matthew 28 in the Great Commission, Jesus says not to just go out and teach people, but he says teach them to obey. Obey is being a doer. Obeying means you are called into action. It means you're taking what you have heard and applying it to your life. It means you're taking God's word and you're allowing it to do something in you. You're not just sitting week after week after week after week. You're not just opening your Bible time after time again and doing nothing. We are to be both hearers and doers of the word. It's obedience to God's word should be the fruit of our hearing. If we continue to listen and hear God's word and there is no action to follow, then we really haven't listened at all. Because if you're really opening God's word and you're listening intently for understanding and eagerness and readiness, it should be leading to an action in your life. It should be leading you, compelling you to do something about what you've heard. Because it's the living word of God. But if you hear week after week after week and you have never been compelled to action, then you haven't really listened. So I want to be clear that being a doer Because we can get mixed up in this too, especially in the modern church. Being a doer does not mean you just fill your schedule with Christian to-do lists. It doesn't mean you just make yourself the busiest person in the church, right? You can be a doer. I've seen it happen in the church. You can be a doer, the person that signs up for everything, and have no knowledge of the word. You can be a doer just because you see everybody else doing it, and you're like, I need to do that, and then you're doing it for the wrong reasons. That's not the kind of doing James is talking about. James is talking about being obedient to the word of God. See, being a doer means that we continually hear and obey the word of God. And our obedience must be rooted in our love for Christ alone, and it can't not be out of obligation or tradition. I've been around plenty of people over the years that would serve because they knew it was the right thing to do, not because the Lord had convicted them, not because the Holy Spirit led them to do it, but because they were acting because out of obligation, because they grew up in the South, they knew it was the right thing to do, and they just copied who they saw, but it was not based on the knowledge they had gained for themselves. It was not based on the Holy Spirit leading them to do that. And that's not what James is calling us to. He's saying, as you listen to God's word, as you read it, as you unpack it, as you seek understanding, it should be compelling you to obedience. It should be compelling you to be both a hearer and a doer. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, it says that those who love Jesus, those are the doers. Because those who love Jesus are the ones who obey his commands. It's in our obedience that we show our love for Christ. The Christian cannot have a true relationship with Jesus without being a doer. You cannot have a true, intimate relationship with Jesus and being a hearer alone. Now, you have to be both a hearer and a doer. You have to be both a hearer and obeying the commands of Christ. This word that we've been given, it's meant to lead us to action. It's meant to show us and guide us in the will that God has for our lives. And to accept Jesus and live a life contrary to his word is to deceive ourselves. I mean, I don't know, the first time I heard that phrase, it really got to me. To accept Jesus and then live a life contrary to what he has called us to is to deceive ourselves. And I just thought about, I mean, how many people sitting in the church in America today have bought that lie? Have I got my ticket to heaven? I'm good, I can still live how I want to live, and I'm good to go. And I'm like, that may be very true, but I'm like, how much does that break God's heart that we are living under that deception? When I think about the grace that he showed us on the cross, the grace that he's poured out in my life, man, how it must hurt his heart when I say I'm still going to do my own thing. You know, thinking back to our text from last week, the natural progression that James has laid out here is that when we come to faith in Christ, he said, the word of God, the gospel of Jesus is implanted in our hearts. And as we read God's word, we seek it for understanding, it stirs up that implanted word. It spurs on the Holy Spirit in us. And now he's saying when it gets to that point, that spurring on, that stirring up of the implanted word should be leading us to action. That the natural progression, if we are truly listening and hearing God's word, should be action. It should be obedience. Our obedience to the hearing of God's word is the only right and necessary response to God's grace that he has shown us on the cross and he continues to show us every day. Our obedience, being both a hearer and a doer, is the only right and necessary response to the grace that God has shown us. It's in our obedience that we worship. Romans 12:1 says we give our bodies as a living sacrifice. That's our act of worship. Being obedient to God means we are sacrificing what we want for what he wants. That is an act of worship. We're showing our love for Christ. We're responding to the grace that he showed us on the cross, the grace that he gives us every single day. And pointing the believer to this, to being both a hearer and a doer, James is highlighting this expectation that God has for his people to live with radical obedience. See, the Christian life, it doesn't consist of hearing and obeying at our convenience, right? I worked with a guy one time. He called Christians. He said, he was like, I don't like the Christians that treat God's word as a buffet line. Right? They go through the line and they just pick and choose what they want to obey and what they don't want to obey, what they like and what they don't like. That's not what we've been called to. That's not what radical obedience is. It's not obeying in our convenience. It's not choosing what we want to and we don't want to obey. It's not ignoring truth because it confronts, challenges, or conflicts with something that we believe in or that we're doing. The Christian life is hearing and obeying continually in all things. That's the life that we have been called to, not just hearing and gaining knowledge, but a life of radical obedience where we hear and obey in all things at all times. We're going to fail, yes, absolutely. We are still sinners, saved by grace, but our goal should be obedience. Not when it's convenient, not when we just like what God has to say. See, it's the one who is both a hearer and a doer that is a true follower of Jesus. You can't claim to be a follower. You might be a believer. You can't claim to be a follower if you're just a hearer. You're not a follower until you're both a hearer and a doer, until you're walking in obedience. See, the doer, the true follower of Jesus, submits to the authority of God's wording and complies with its requirements. And he does so over and over and over again. It's not a one and done. It's not a when I feel like it. The true follower of Jesus, the one that is running after Jesus with everything they have, is one that submits to the authority of God's word and complies with his requirements over and over and over again. This is what radical obedience looks like. This is what we've been called to as followers of Jesus. To come to the word of God continually, acting on it continually, submitting to it continually. If we've believed anything else, we have deceived ourselves. The Christian walk means we are hearing and doing. We are listening and responding to what we have heard. Now, looking back at the text, verses 23 through 24, James uses an illustration here concerning a mirror. And so now the mirror he's talking about, though, is not like one that we use today. I'm surprised you guys sat here. I didn't think you'd want to look at yourself in the mirror while you were. But when James is talking about looking into a mirror, he's talking about ones they would have used in his day. They didn't have mirrors like this. They would have been polished, kind of beat out like metal, usually steel. And it would kind of sit on the ground like this. And so you kind of have to bend over to look in it. And it wouldn't give you a clear picture like that. Like, it was kind of a blurry image, right? And so it was very possible when you went to go look in a mirror in James's day that you could look, even if you looked intently, and not really understood and not really see what your face looked like. That was totally possible. In James's day, only the wealthy could afford these mirrors. And so it was not uncommon for people to sometimes go their whole lives not knowing what their own face looked like. That was not a rare thing in James's day. They couldn't just walk in their bathroom in the morning and look and see if their face looked good that day to get themselves pretty for the day, right? They just couldn't do that. So the idea of someone looking intently into the mirror, as James says, and then walking away and forgetting what he looks like means something different then than it does for us. So James is talking about somebody that does come into this mirror and they do look intently and they walk away and they forget because the image really wasn't that clear to begin with. They did have to look intently, but in order for them to really remember what their face looked like, they had to continually come to that mirror over and over again, studying that image till they got an accurate picture, taking mental notes, even writing down physical notes. Yeah, and maybe over time, they would actually begin to remember what their face looked like. They'd be able to piece it together the more they looked in that mirror, what their face looked like. And so what James is talking about, he's saying hearers of the word alone, though, are like somebody that comes and they look intently in the mirror one time, and then they walk away and forget what they look like. He's like, they may have looked really good, and that first time, they may have had a little bit of an understanding, but instead of going back to that mirror, they chose to forget about what they saw and go on with their life. Are you tracking? They may have looked intently the first time at that mirror and they got a glimpse, but instead of coming back and studying that image to really understand what they looked like, they chose to walk away, and he says they forgot what they saw. the hearer of the word is to go to God's word every single day, over and over again, so that we can remember what he has called us to do, so that we can act on what he has called us to do. We are to look at his word intently, study it, take notes, allow it to shape the image of our lives. See, like the mirror shapes the view that we have about our outward opinion, or our appearance, the Bible is a mirror into the appearance of our soul. The Bible is a mirror into show us that the character of ourself. It gives us a glimpse into our heart. A physical mirror reveals our physical appearance. The mirror of the Bible reveals to us the status of our heart. But here's what the beauty of the Bible is. Here's the beauty of God's word. Is not only does it reveal maybe deficiencies in our heart, but it also points us to who God desires for us to be. It points us to who we were intended to be before sin corrupted us. It shows us everything that God desires for us as we look intently into the mirror that is God's word. It reveals where we lack, and then it points us to where we need to go. But unless we're going to the word intently, continually, over and over again, we're going to continue to forget what we look like. We're going to continue to forget what he has called us to. We're going to continue to forget what he has shown us. I do think the word forget there that James uses is interesting, because that word forget implies that we discredit, disregard something that we've been told. It means we once had knowledge, and then at some point we said, I'm not going to do anything with it. I'm going to choose to not respond to it. You know, it's like we read God's word. He showed us some things, and we said, I hear you, God. I hear what you're saying. Don't really like it. It's not really my thing. I'm going to leave it here. I'm going to choose not to do anything with it, and I'm going to just walk over here and pretend I never heard it. James is saying that's the person that has convinced themselves that hearing alone is all that's required of the Christian walk. To move from hearer to hearer and doer, there has to be this continuation of going to the word of God and allowing it to shape us, where we say, I'm not going to run any longer when God's word challenges or confronts or convicts, because I know that God's word is working on me where I am to get me where I was meant to be. When we approach God's word in this manner, we approach it as God is not condemning us. We stand condemned already, right? Scripture says we were condemned already. God's word is here for our benefit and for his glory. And so when we're reading that, we make this decision that, hey, I'm not gonna run from it when it shows me some deficiencies in my character. I'm gonna lean into it when it confronts and challenges ideologies, because I know he's trying to change that in me to get me to where he desires me to be. And until I allow him to change that, I'm never going to be where he wants me to be all along. He reveals those deficiencies so that his grace can work to get us to where we were meant to be. I would make this case before we move on, that the biggest obstacle for believers in being both a hearer and a doer is ourselves. And the fact that we choose not to pay attention, we choose to forget or neglect the word, we choose to allow ourselves to be deceived. Because if we're, again, continually going to the mirror that is God's word, looking intently and continually really listening, obedience should always be the fruit of that. We really have to get in the way to keep the fruit of obedience from being produced in our life. We really have to stand in the way of that. Now, I do want to offer one solution this morning to help us not forget God's word. We see that in Psalms 119:11. Psalms 119:11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. Now, what does it mean to hide God's word in your heart? Anybody? You memorize it. You memorize it. I know at the sheer mention of the word memorization, some of you shudder. You're like, that's it. I'm done. There's no hope for me. I can't memorize anything. And I want to push back on that excuse this morning. Because everybody in this room, you remembered how to get here this morning. You probably remember the phone number that you grew up with. You remember your address. You remember your kids' names. You remember their birthdays, hopefully. You remember how to get to work. You remember how to do your job. You hopefully remember your anniversary if you're married. We have the ability to memorize things. Some of you can remember who your team beat this time last year and what the score was and what the stats of the QB were. You know who you're playing next week and the end of the season. You know where you stand in the playoffs. The situation of whether your team's going to make it or not. We can memorize things. The reality is we remember what is important to us. And for the believer, there's nothing more important for us to remember than the Word of God. There is nothing more important for the follower of Christ to hide in their heart than the Word of God. So I understand that we all learn differently. I got that. But we're all capable of remembering God's Word if it's important to us. The question is it important to us? Verse 25. James moves out of this illustration of the mirror and looking into the mirror and describing a hearer to focusing on here. This is what a doer of God's Word looks like. He's one who looks. That word in the look, again, implies a man who's stooping over. And so given that their mirrors used to be on the ground, he's implying of somebody that's kind of bending down, stooping over, and looking intently in this mirror. And so he says, the one who looks into, means they're looking intentionally, into the perfect law, which is the word of God, the gospel. And he describes it further. He describes it as the law of liberty. And I just want to pause there for a moment and kind of unpack that just a little bit. God's word is perfect. It lacks nothing, it does not need our improving. It doesn't need your personal touch, it doesn't need my personal touch, it doesn't need any edits from our part, it doesn't need us to add or take away, it is perfect just the way it is. No improvements necessary. Now that's hard for some people because you always think you can improve things, you cannot improve the Word of God, it is perfect just the way it is. So you have the perfect Word of God. And then James describes it as this law of liberty or the law of freedom, the law that gives freedom. And here's what James means by that. Is that in the gospel, through the gospel of Jesus, through the perfect law of Christ, we have been given freedom to live as God has created us to live. See, before we came to faith in Christ, we lived in bondage to sin and death. Before we came to faith in Christ, we had no choice but to live in bondage to sin. But as we come to faith in Christ, we are freed from the bondage of sin and death, and we are now given the freedom to live for Christ. We are given the freedom to obey the commands of God. Free to obey, free to follow. We now have a choice where we did not have a choice before. See, here's how God operates. Before we came to faith in Christ, we were in bondage to sin. We had no other choice but to sin. We could not have followed God if we wanted to because we were still in bondage to sin. We had to be made free through the blood of Jesus, through the gift of salvation. But now in Christ, he does not mandate obedience, but he gives us the freedom to choose what we're going to do with our freedom. What do we do with our new salvation? He says, you have freedom in here, in me, to obey or not to obey. What are you going to do with the freedom you have in Christ? My hope is that as believers, we would make the most of that freedom, we would make the most of that salvation, and we would choose to live in obedience, to be a doer. He continues, he says, but the believer who looks into the perfect law and perseveres means they continue. Again, speaking to this thing where they're continually looking into the Word of God, persevering in it, meaning they're applying it. He says, the one who continues to go and look intently into the Word of God over and over again, not forgetting, but doing and acts, this is a doer. And he says, this is about those who are hearers and doers. He says, they will be blessed in their doing. Now, there's key in how you understand that because he doesn't say you'll be blessed after you do. He didn't say you're blessed after you obey. He said you're going to be blessed in your obedience. He said the one that is both a hearer and a doer is going to be blessed by God in their doing. In the continuing hearing and doing, James says we're going to be blessed. We're going to be blessed by experiencing the fullness of our salvation. We're going to be blessed because we are going to continue to encounter the grace of God over and over again as we listen and obey. We're going to be blessed because we're now living in the way God created us to live. And we're going to be blessed because we'll be allowing the Word of God to transform us into that person He's called us to be. See, the Word of God is the transformative and living speech of the living God whom we have a relationship with. And the person who is both a hearer and a doer is the one who allows that Word to shape and transform them. When we obey the Word of God, it transforms and shapes us into who God created us to be. We're not shaped and transformed merely by hearing the Word, but when we hear and obey. To be faithful hearers and doers of the Word, not only do we need to trust and believe that God's Word is perfect, but we must also understand this, because we get a little caught up in how, you know, thinking God's this kind of domineering God. But we have to understand that God has given us His Word from the posture of a loving parent. His law, His Word, arises from His steadfast, unchangeable love for you and I. Like, just like you want what's best for your children and you give them rules to obey because you want their best, because you love them, He has given us His Word because He says, hey, this is what I know is best for you. I know you think you know what's best for you, but as your Heavenly Father, I know what's best. And if you obey what I've laid out in here, you're going to experience your best lives possible this side of eternity. It's not because He's trying to kill your good time. It's because He's a Father that loves you and cares for you. You know, throughout history, though, God's people have had a problem hearing and obeying His Word. You read Deuteronomy 6, God gives Israel the Ten Commandments, and by Deuteronomy 8, He's warning them, hey, you better obey the commands I've given you. We see this repeatedly in Scripture, this trait that exists amongst God's people where they listen and forget. They listen and they stay their own course. They hear the Word of God over and over, but they never allow it to shape them. Sadly, we have generations of believers now who have deceived themselves into believing that they can be a follower of Jesus through listening alone, because their bookshelves are filled with completed Bible studies and they can quote Scripture, amen, praise the Lord, but unless you're doing it, you're not a true follower of Jesus. I know we want to say those missionaries that go across the world and leave everything behind are the weirdos, but they're the ones that really get it. Because they have heard and obeyed and they have went and they've been called to action and they have done it. We're not called to obey it sometimes, but continually. When we have grown content with being just hearers of the Word, deceiving ourselves into thinking everything is okay, we become blind to our own spiritual condition. We've convinced ourselves that we are okay, and it's why we stay stagnant in our faith. To just be a hearer means that we are tuning out the conviction and the challenges and the confrontation that can come through God's Word as He's trying to correct and mold and shape us. You know, many Christians will say, I am willing to do what the Lord calls me to do. I have a willing heart, and God wants us to have a willing heart. But if that willing heart never coincides with actual action, you're not really willing. You're just saying you are. If you say you have a willing heart, then at some point, that willingness should lead you to action. We've not been called just to have a willing heart. We've been called to a life of obedience, of willful obedience. Jesus didn't say, raise your hand, all those who are willing to follow me. He said, no, He said, y'all come and y'all follow me. Y'all leave where you're at and you come follow me. I don't want those that are willing. I want those who are willing and are going to act on that willingness. Good intentions don't move the mission forward. Good intentions don't move the mission of God forward. It's followers of Christ who hear the Word of God, allow to do its work, and then respond in obedience. That's how you push back the gates of hell. That's how you win people for Jesus. That's how you make disciples. Good intentions don't do that. God's Word demands action. As followers of Christ, recipients of His grace, living under His lordship, we are obligated to obey. But we've been given the freedom to avoid that duty if we so choose. Again, I ask you the question, what are you going to do with the freedom you have in Christ? It's in our obedience we are shaped into God, who God created us to be. It's in our obedience that we live our best life. It's in our obedience we become like Jesus. In our obedience, we experience the joy of the Lord. It's in our obedience alone that we experience the blessed life. Some of you wear shirts that say blessed life and make the quotes blessed life, whatever, whatever. Unless you're walking in obedience, you're not truly living the blessed life. It's through hearing and doing that we develop intimacy with Jesus. It's where our faith grows. It's where we show our love for him. It's where our lives are transformed. And in order for that to happen, we must continually go to the mirror that is God's word, allowing it to work in us where work needs to be done, allowing it to continue to remind us and show us who God created us to be, the plans he has for us, allowing it to compel us to action. As we close our time together, I'm going to have the worship team come and lead us this morning. And this is a time for you to respond to the word of God. And when I say respond, it means to be a doer of the word of God. And so I want us to consider that this morning. But as I do want to speak for a moment to those in the room that may not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior this morning. We live in a place where a lot of people think that they're right with Jesus because they grew up in a Christian home. They heard the gospel. You know, I was talking to John before. When I used to do homeless ministry, like John's involved in, it's hard to find somebody living on the street that cannot quote the gospel to you. What's hard to find is somebody that has actually believed that gospel that they're quoting to you. And here's what I want to tell you this morning, if you don't know Jesus, it's not enough to know the gospel. It's not enough to know that he loves you. It's not enough to be able to quote it. Just hearing it alone does not bring salvation. Jesus says you have to hear it first, yes, but once you hear it, there's this call to confess our sin, to repent of our sin, to ask for forgiveness and make him Lord. There are many who have heard the gospel, never responded, but act like they're good anyways. And those who have deceived themselves into thinking that, there's going to be a day when they stand before Jesus and he says, get away from me, I never knew you. And they're going to say, well, we did all these things in your name. Yeah, but I never knew you. Because you just knew me in knowledge. You didn't know me in reality. You never gave me your life. So if that's you this morning, if you're here and you're like, I know the gospel, but I've never acted on it. I'm inviting you this morning to act on that gospel. So that when you stand before Jesus, he says, welcome home, instead of, hey, I never knew you. And for the church this morning, I just want to ask you, how are you going to respond to God's word this morning? Will you commit to study God's word intently? Will you continue to allow it to shape you and mold you and transform you? You know, one of the best ways we can kind of visibly see whether we're allowing God's word to transform us is when we start to notice that the way we speak changes, the way we act changes, the way we view other people changes, right? And we start noticing some of those character transformations is a good sign that we have been faithful in allowing God's word to transform us. Church, will you commit to being both a hearer and a doer, welcoming the blessed life that God has created for you? Will you commit to memorizing his word so that you will not sin against him, so that you will be faithful to remember and be called to action? You use this time to respond. I'm going to pray. They're going to lead us in worship. But you respond how God's leading you to respond this morning. Heavenly Father, man, sometimes your word, it is always true, it is always right, it is perfect, but sometimes it hurts. And sometimes it just really challenges where we're at. It convicts, and it steps on our toes. God, but you know, this morning I'm thankful that you love me enough to step on my toes. I thank you that you love me enough not to just leave me where I'm at. God, that you desire so much for us to be where you created us to be, to live the life you created us for, that you continue to confront the parts of our heart that have been deceived, the parts of our character that aren't where they should be. And so God, I just pray as a church this morning, we would receive your word in that manner. Maybe it stepped on some toes, man. It's got us a little flustered this morning, but I pray that we would remember that you're a Father who loves us, cares for us, and desires the best for us. And what's best for us is written in your word. God, so I pray that we come before you during this time just with an open heart, allowing your word and your Holy Spirit to do a work in us, to transform us, that you would begin to just lead us to where you have called us to be. Man, give us a hunger for your word, a desire for your word. Make us desperate for your word. God, pour out your grace in this room today. God, again, I pray for those here. Man, they've heard the gospel. They might even understand it, but they've yet to respond. They've yet to do. They've yet to make an action step towards that gospel. God, I pray that you would give them the strength to respond this morning. So, Lord, we just surrender the rest of our time to you this morning. Just ask that you would move in a mighty way. We just pray, sing your son in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, you may be seated. I just have a few quick closing announcements. I would like to redirect you back to the bulletin again. You'll find in there the small groups who meet throughout the week. That's where you get to look in that mirror again and reinforce the word from this week. Also, I'd like for you to look at the QR code for the meal train for Wednesday nights. We will always have the continuous need for providing meals to the children at the Foundry Youth Ministry when they meet on Wednesdays. Also, take a look again at the sign-up table in the back. The women's retreat is coming up. You can still sign up for that, and then visit our Next Steps table as well. And then also, as Pastor mentioned, tonight we'll be back here from 5 to 6 p.m. If you're concerned about the time in either direction, we do stick to the hard 6 p.m. End time, so it won't, you know, if you have somewhere you need to be after that, please don't. Hopefully that will help. Sorry. But anyway, otherwise, the Three Chords Marriage Ministry will be meeting again on October 11th. So mark your calendars if you are in a relationship with someone. If you're married or you're engaged, that's a great place to begin to shape your life around the Word of God and your relationship rooted in Christ. And that's the best and only way that you should be approaching your relationship. So otherwise, that concludes. Oh, we have Lily, please.
Always, man. I'm trying. Okay.
Right. So this is Lily. She's one of our youth. And when she gets nervous, she laughs. How about you just stand with me and we'll work. Okay, does that work?
Okay.
All right. So the youth is having a fundraiser this Tuesday at Texas Roadhouse. You can grab one of these flyers before you leave today. Show it at the door. We will get 10% off anybody that uses off the bill if you show one of these at the door. So if you don't grab one of these, you can grab it off the Facebook page. Lily, do you have anything you want to add?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, here we go.
We're going to try it.
I broke the ice. You got to hold it close enough you can lick. Yeah, there you go.
Okay. This is really important to, like, our youth as well as me. I have two siblings in the youth group, so it's really hard for my parents to pay for all this. Prices start to stack up. And this is also a problem, like, other kids have, because there's, like, a few kids that have siblings. But even with just the kids who come alone who don't have siblings, it's also a problem for them because the prices just keep adding up each year. So it's kind of hard to like be able to afford it without funding. So.
Thank you, Lily.
Yeah.
Thank you. You did very good, Lily. Yeah, so things like DNOW, camp and all that, those things, if you haven't priced them, if you haven't had a kid in youth in a long time, those are really expensive these days. If you have more than one kid in the house, that really adds up. And so Miss Adrian and some others have put together some fundraisers. But fundraisers only work if you participate. And so, and these allow us to get outside of the walls of the church and not just ask the same people for money over and over and over again. And so we encourage you to participate. I think this week they had 18 kids at youth, which is a, you know, I remember the first youth group we had, there was three. So it's great to see the discipleship taking place there. Lily and her siblings, man, I have loved watching them come to faith in Christ. And Lily comes to my small group after going to youth, and it has just been amazing to watch the transformation in her life that Jesus has done. And so it's worth the investment. And so if you're looking for a place to eat on Tuesday night, Texas Roadhouse, grab one of these, and you'll be able to support the Foundry Youth here at Replicate. And so we love you guys. Thank you for coming today. You guys are free to go. We hope to see you guys next week. Thank you.